Can y'all hear me now? Amen. How's everybody this morning? Amen. He's an awesome God. Amen. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending. We just come to praise him. Brother Dave and I were talking up in the back. You know, that's the whole reason why we're here. We can kind of get caught up in a whole lot of other different stuff. And when you come to church, you know, you worry about a lot of different things. But it's all about giving him glory. And God created us. He made us. Why? For his pleasure. Amen? Amen. So I don't know what you came with. I don't know what's on your mind, what is distracting you. I don't know. Sometimes people come to church distracted. Anybody come to church distracted? If that's you, you don't have to raise your hand. But some Sundays, if you've ever come to church distracted, raise your hand. Ever. Maybe not this morning, but at some point in your life. Listen. I'm here to tell you, guess what? This morning, we want to put all that aside and see him in his majesty. Amen? Because that song, that's one of my favorite songs. I want to sing that again. And I want you to make, not just the song we sung in praise and worship, I want you to make it your personal prayer this morning as we come into the time of the word to ask God to open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. Say, I want to see. Come on, sing that personally this morning. Just ask God to open your eyes. I'm going to say it again. God, I don't want to see my wife and my kids. Just open the eyes. Say, open the eyes. Come on, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you and you alone, God.
To see you.
Come on, I need to see you today.
I want
one more time, everybody, sing it from the bottom of your heart. Say, come on, like you're desperate for me. Open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Yes.
Come on, open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see you, Lord.
I want to see you.
We need to see you, Lord.
I want to see you.
Come on, see you high and lift it up. See you high and lift it up. Pour out your power and your love today, God.
Pour out your power and love.
As we sing, say, holy.
We sing, holy, holy, holy.
Say, holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy.
Come on, there's none like you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy.
Holy,
holy, holy.
Father, that's our prayer this morning. God, open the eyes of our hearts so we might see you. God, help us to cast down imaginations and every high thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of God and to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. God, there are a lot of things in life that are competing for your attention and competing for our attention. God, we pray this morning, Heavenly Father, that we'll put all those things aside just to see you in all of your majesty and all of your greatness. I don't know all of the needs in this place, God, but you do. I don't know what all the marriages are like here today, but you do. Lord, I don't know what someone's financial situation is, but you do. But what I do know, God, that everything that we need in life, you are the solution for. So I pray, God, for wherever people are today, that you'll open their hearts to not just to see you, but having seen you, then to obey you. We praise you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. He's an awesome God. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we are, it's October. First of all, whose birthday's in October? Anybody in October? October birthdays, all of our October. But can you, if you're October birthday, can you stand? Can we give you a round of applause? Our October birthdays. Wonderful, wonderful. Happy birthday to, why y'all sit down? Happy birthday to. Happy birthday to all of our October birthday celebrants and to one who's coming. Joy and David have one who's coming any day now, right? Well, this morning, the month of October, we're starting and studying the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. If you got your Bible, you can turn to Joshua chapter 1, and you can also put a finger in Joshua chapter 21. And what we're doing this morning, I got this idea from a book I read a while back by Max Lucado. Any of you read anything by Max Lucado before? I love Max Lucado. I love the way he kind of just paints a mental picture so you can really see it and allow the word to come to life. And it's a book called Glory Days. And it's called Glory Days, Living Your Promised Land Life Now. Glory Days. And I like I said, if you haven't had the book, here's the book. I've got them. We've got some left. I ordered a ton of them, so if you haven't, don't have it. If you want to kind of follow along with us as we're on Sunday and on Wednesday night Bible study, you can get the book from us. I will have it out in the foyer again today, Glory Days. We're going to be starting Bible study talking about it this week. But it's really the book based on the book of Joshua. And it's called, like I said, Living Your Promised Land Now. That's the subtitle. And in the book, if you read the first chapter, in the book there was a research project called the Reveal Research Project. And they took a survey of thousands of Christians all over the globe. And they asked them if they felt they were living a victorious life. And of all the Christians that they surveyed, guess what the results say? Look at the results. It says of all those surveyed, only 11% of those surveyed believed they were living a victorious Christian life. How powerful is that? Out of 2.2 billion professed Christians on the planet, over 2 billion of them say that I'm living beneath what I should be living. And that's and when we say we're talking about what a mighty and awesome God that we serve, that almost 1 out of 10 Christians say that, listen, I'm not getting everything out of my life that I know I should be. And this message this morning, as we talk about glory days, we're going to look at the children of Israel and parallel the children of Israel with us right now, here and now. Because the children of Israel, they were the children of promise. Just like we are children of promise. And they were living beneath what they were supposed to be living in. And we're going to look at their progress throughout the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua is the study of them entering into the promised land. Amen? So this morning, I want us to look at Joshua chapter 1. And I'm going to read the first 10 or 11 verses. Joshua 1, 1 through 11. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on land I have given you, from the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And once Joshua got that instruction, this is what he did. Joshua then commanded the officers of Israel, go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days, you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. Then I want to read a few verses from Joshua 21. Joshua 21, verses 43 through 45. Joshua 21, 43 through 45. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had solemnly promised their ancestors. None of their enemies could stand against them, for the Lord helped them conquer all their enemies. Not a single one of all the good promises the Lord had given to the family of Israel was left unfulfilled. Everything he had spoken came true. Wouldn't you love to live a life where that you are living in the promises and reaping the benefit of all the promises that God has given to us? You know, and I'm here to tell you, just like that survey said, 11% only 11% of Christians feel like they're living a victorious life. I'm here to tell you, I can identify with those people, with that 89%. I can identify with those who said, listen, I sometimes feel in my life that I'm not living out all that God has promised me. And the question we have to ask ourselves, is the problem with God or is the problem with And this morning, we want to look at it's a Glory Days Declaration. In the book, there's a book called the Glory Days Declaration. And I encourage you to write this declaration down, put it on your refrigerator, and say this to yourself in the morning. This is what it says. It says, these days are glory days. My past is past. My future is bright. God's promises are true, and his word is sure. With God as my helper, I will be all he wants me to be, do all he wants me to do, and receive all he wants me to receive. These days are glory days. See, we got to walk in the promise that God has given to us. When we look at the story of the children of Israel, they were on a journey. If you look and see when they got finally to this passage in Joshua, they had come out of Egypt, and they had gone through the wilderness, and now they were on the brink of the promised land. And as before they entered into the promised land, they had several stops on their journey. And we're going to look this morning at three stops that Israel took on their journey. And we're going to parallel them with three stops that we take on our life's journey, because they have a lot of parallels together. So this morning, if you look at the first stop that Israel took on their way to the promised land was in Egypt. Egypt was where they were in what? They were in bondage. In Egypt, they were slaves living in bondage. They were slaves living in bondage. If you look in your Bible in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 7 through 9, it says, then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. He's speaking to Moses. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I'm aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. What God is saying, listen, I've heard my people's cry, and you hear what he's telling Moses, I'm going to take them to this land. He had promised the land to Israel hundreds and thousands of years before they ever got there. He promised it to them. And they now in the book of Joshua, they were finally on the brink. But before they got there, they were living in bondage in slavery. And this morning, I'm here to tell you, just like they were in bondage to slavery to Pharaoh, when we are born, you're born in bondage and slavery to sin. See, you and I, but Israel, they did, it wasn't anything that they did. They just kind of ended up in Egypt when Joseph was in Egypt and he saved his family from a famine. They ended up, their family ended up in Egypt and they stayed there and they multiplied and they ended up in slavery just like you and I are born. The Bible tells us we are born slaves to sin. We are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Sin is our, listen, the devil is your master when you're born. Romans chapter 6 says, thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin and you've become slaves to righteous living. You and I are born slaves to sin. You don't have a choice to obey. Listen, you can see it in a child. Children are born natural sinners. I just look and watch mine. You don't have to teach them to lie. This very morning, I'm walking through the living room, and my daughter comes down, and she plops on the couch, and her lips are tight, face red. And I'm like, you have an attitude? No. I said, mommy told you to do something you don't want to do? No. And then the little one says, you're lying. You're lying. Mommy told you you couldn't take that person. You got mad. You're lying. Don't have to teach them to lie. They come from the womb speaking lies. Guess what? We are in bondage to sin. You are a slave to the one who you obey. And who do we naturally obey? Our sinful nature. We are born with a want to do what is wrong. It's natural. Just like children lie naturally, you lie naturally too as an adult. Why? We normally take the path of least resistance. In Israel at this time, their first stop on the journey was that they were in Egypt as slaves to Pharaoh. But I'm here to tell you, on the road of life, your first stop is a slave to sin. You and I are born into this world under the slave master, Satan. And we obey whatever he tells us to do. Some of you here who've already become followers of Christ can remember what it was like to be a slave to sin. What it was to be a bondage to your urges. My question to you this morning, are you still living in slavery? Are you still living in bondage to sin? Yesterday we had a new members class and we talked about that word sin and what it means to be a sinner. A sinner is somebody that says, I want to be the boss of my own life. A sin is just simply to go against God. God has a standard, and God's standard is perfection. The only way that you and I can be made right with God is to be perfect. And the fact of the matter is, there's nobody perfect. So whenever I miss God's standard, that's sin. It's to miss the mark. And you are born missing the mark, and we can't. You can try all you want to be good, but listen, all your good will never outweigh your bad because our nature is sinful. How many of you have had a habit? You say, "I'm not ever going to do that again." What do? You do it again. Willpower doesn't work. You cannot make yourself right with God. I'm here to tell you, you might not recognize it, but today, if you have never come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you're here today as a slave to sin. That's the first stop in life. But guess what? You don't have to stay there. See, Israel, they were in bondage. They were in slavery under a taskmaster. They had no choices of their own. It wasn't anything that they signed up for. They were born into this position. But God loved them. Look at what the passage says in Exodus. The Lord says, I've heard the cry of my people. I have seen their oppression, and I've heard their cries of distress. And what is he going to do? He's aware of their suffering, so I've come down to rescue them. That's just like he rescued Egypt. God is telling you today, you and I who are born in sin, he desires to set you free from that slavery as well. See, in the Old Testament, what happened with the Israelites, they were in bondage to sin. And when God heard their cry, what he did, he sent 10 plagues and he set them free with his mighty arm. And at the end, what he did, he said there was the plague of that death angel came through. And what he told the children of Israel is to say this: the last thing that I'm going to do, I'm going to take the life of every firstborn person in Egypt. The life of every firstborn is going to die, of not just animals, but humans too. But I'm telling you, my people, if you want to escape this death, If you want to escape the death that is coming, what I want you to do is I want you to put a blood on the doorpost of your homes. See, when I see the blood on the doorpost of your home, what does that mean? There had to be a sacrifice of a lamb. A lamb had to be killed. Blood had to be shed. You take it, and I want you to put that blood on the doorpost of your home. And when the death angel comes over, if I see the blood on the doorpost of your home, I'm going to pass over you. And what happened that night? The death angel came over, and every person who had blood on the doorpost of their home, they were saved. And after that, the Pharaoh was so upset, he said, y'all get out of here. He set them free, and they ran out of there. Listen, they ain't had time to pack. They ran out of there with what they had on because he had set them free. Why? When he set them free, when he saw the blood, he passed over. The same thing is true with you and I. The way he sets us free is through the blood of Jesus Christ. See, he saw our bondage in sin, and at just the right time, he sent his son to die for us. God commended his love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He sent Jesus Christ to set us free from the slavery of sin. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. This morning, if you've never come to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and recognize that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be the only solution for your sin slavery, today you're still a slave and he wants to set you free. Stop number one on their way to the promised land was Egypt. In Egypt, they were slaves living in bondage. But stop number two, after he set them free, stop number two was what? The wilderness. They were in the wilderness, and in the wilderness, they were stuck living below the promise. They were stuck living below the promise. What happened to the children of Israel? In the wilderness, this is what happened. When he set them free, and now they got on the brink of the promised land. If you look in the book of Numbers, you can turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. So what happened here is he set the children of Israel free. And as they got on the brink of the promised land, what God did, he told Moses to send some spies into the land to spy out the land that he was going to give to them. And they were right there on the brink of the promised land, the one that God had been promising to give them. And now Moses said, listen, I want you to go out. I'm going to send 12 of you guys out. Look at the land. I want you to survey it. He sent them on a recon mission to kind of check out what God was giving them. And as they went in to survey the land, they looked at it and they came back and said, the land is beautiful, it's awesome, but there's a problem. There's a problem. If you look at Numbers 13, verse 33, he said the spies, they came back, and what they said is, we saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. They forgot about the promise. See, God said, I've already promised to give you the land. What he was telling them, I want you to go in and check out the land that I'm already giving you. And because they operated in fear instead of faith, they got stuck in the wilderness. See, God took them, he promised, he told Moses in Exodus 3, listen, I'm giving you this land. Then when they get to the brink of the land to go see the land, they got too scared to go in because it looks too big for us. And this morning, guess what? Just like, and because they didn't believe what God said, God sent them back out into the wilderness. Because he's like, listen, I'm not a man that I lie. I'm not like the son of man that I repent. If I say it, I'm going to do it. I told you I'm going to give you the land. And so what Joshua did, Joshua at this time, he was just Moses' assistant. He and Caleb said in Numbers 14, please don't rebel against the Lord. Don't be afraid of the people of the land. They're helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. What I'm here to tell you, just like Israel, they did not get into the land of promise when they should because of their fear. There are some of us today who are living below what God has for you because you're afraid. Because when God is trying to take you somewhere, that place he's trying to take you looks too big for you. There are obstacles in that place that you seem like you cannot handle. And God said, I know that. If you can handle it, it wouldn't be me. So he took them to the edge, and he's saying, I want you to see. All they could see, the giants. And sometimes that's all we see is the obstacles instead of the opportunity. God is trying to get you to the place that, listen, when I promised you something, I'm going to be the one that does it. See, if it was small enough for you to handle it, it wouldn't be a God thing. It kind of reminds me, Joshua later on, we'll talk about this, when Joshua got to the city of Ai, they had just seen God do something big. They knocked down the walls of Jericho, and they get to this little small city, and Joshua said, oh, we can handle this. We don't even need all y'all. We're just going to go up here and just kind of knock this city on out, and we're going to take it over. And they got their butts beat. Why? Because they felt that they can do it on their own. And when God, and sometimes what we do, we settle for stuff that looks like that we can handle it on our own. And God is calling you to something way bigger than you can see. He's calling you to, he's got promises, listen, that are way bigger for you. But you settle. There's so many people, like you said, 11%, 89% of people are living stuck in the wilderness because, listen, they're afraid to step into the land of promise. Why were they stuck? Because of their fear. They did not walk by faith. My question to you, are you stuck in your walk with God right now because of a lack of faith? Is there something that God has promised you and that you know you've heard him clearly to tell you to do, but it looks like, look, I don't have the resources to do it. So you said, listen, I'm going to stay right in this safe place. This is safer for me. I'm going to stay in this safe place. But God is saying, listen, I got something bigger for you. And when we don't operate in faith, look at what God did. This is how God responds to our faithlessness. If you look at Numbers 14, 29 through 35, this is what happened. He says, you will all drop dead in this wilderness because you complained against me. Every one of you who is 20 years old or older and was included in the registration will die. You will not enter and occupy the land I swore to give you. The only exception will be Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. You said your children will be carried off as plunder. Well, I will bring them safely into the land, and they will enjoy what you have despised. But as for you, you will drop dead in this wilderness. And your children will be like shepherds wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. In this way, they will pay for your faithlessness until the last of you lies dead in the wilderness. Because your men explored the land for 40 days, you must wander in the wilderness for 40 years, a year for each day, suffering the consequences of your sin. Then you will discover what it's like to have me for an enemy. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will certainly do these things to every member of the community who has conspired against me. They will be destroyed here in this wilderness, and here they will die. That's how God responds to our lack of faith. I mean, that's a big deal. He said, listen, when I promise you something, what do you know what it's saying? What am I saying about God when I don't walk by faith? What I'm telling the world around me about God is that he's not almighty. He's not big enough to handle it. He's not a God of his word. But when I'm stepping out in faith, when everybody around me can see that I don't have the resources, they know what it does. It points all glory back to him. It points all glory back to him. He's the God. Anika had a poem, that living in the realm of impossibility. That's the kind of God we serve. But today, and we look at churches, this church included, we live in it with the 89% who are not experiencing the promises and seeing him do things that our minds could never conceive. Why? Because we're only trying to do what we can see with our own eyes. In the Gospels, Jesus said, listen, he didn't do many miracles in one town because of what? Their unbelief. What does that mean? Our faith unlocks his power. He said, I'm ready to move, but your unbelief. He said, look, I'm not even going to show y'all all I can show you because you don't have enough faith. What would God do if we began to walk as a church? In our individual lives, if we began to just step out in faith, what would God do in my finances? If in my finances, I began to say, God, I'm going to give you 10%, even though I'm not sure how I'm going to get all this stuff paid for. God, I don't have enough resources to do everything that I think I need to do, but I'm going to honor you with my substance. Because, Lord, everything I have belongs to you. So I'm going to give it back to you. And watch, why don't he open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing we don't have room enough to receive? He's looking for us to walk by faith. Today, if you're stuck, my question to you, are you stuck in your walk with God? Do you feel like, listen, there's more, there's got to be more to a relationship with God than this? Does it sometimes feel like when you go into your quiet time, the prayer is just like bouncing up off the ceiling? Like you're just kind of talking to yourself? Just kind of feel like dry? You know, we come into praise and worship and you see people lifting their hands and it's just like, man, you know, you just can't get in there. Maybe it's because there's some areas in your life that God is saying, you're not experiencing my promises because you're walking in fear. Because you're walking in fear. I want you to, we say it all the time, to let go and what? Let God. To let go and let God. Why can we do that? Because he's a God, he's a promise keeper. Romans chapter 8, verse 37, 39 says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death or life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Do you believe that? That nothing can separate you from his love? Earlier in that passage, he says that all things work together for the good of them who love him and are called according to his purpose. When I don't step out in that, I'm calling God a liar. That's powerful. First stops on Israel's journey, first stop on your journey. My question is, are you stuck in Egypt? Are you still a slave to your sin? Second stop is the wilderness. Are you this morning stuck living below what God has promised you because of your own fear? Stop number three was the promised land, Canaan. They walked into Canaan, and that stands for successful living in the blessings of the promised land. See, this period of time in the book, if you read it, was a seven-year period between the time they entered into the promised land until the dark days of the judges. A short period of time. Because, listen, after this, God gave them this. If you look at chapter 21, verse 43 through 45, we read it earlier. He said, the Lord gave to Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors. They conquest. They went in. He gave them the land. But it was only after they were in the wilderness for 40 years. And then it says they took possession of it and settled there, and the Lord gave them rest on every side. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he solemnly promised their ancestors. None of their enemies could stand against them, for the Lord helped them conquer all their enemies. Not a single one of all the good promises the Lord had given to the family of Israel was left unfulfilled. Everything he had spoken had come true. Man, could you imagine what it would be like to live that everything God had spoken to me, promised me, was coming true in my life? And this was happening for Israel, according to Joshua 21, but it only happened for a very short season. Because what? They lost sight of it again. They lost sight of it again. And it said it gave them rest on every side only for a short season. And why? Because they couldn't be consistent. And the same thing is true with us. But what happened for that short season, God gave them rest on every side. What would it be like to end your life to live that God, every promise that he gave you was coming true? Every promise that he gave to you was coming true, that you had rest all around you, that he was giving you rest. All of the enemies, all of the giants that were in your life, you were conquering because you were walking in faith. Wouldn't that be an awesome thing to experience all that blessing? And the sad thing about it is it says that only 11% of Christians really experience that victorious Christian life. See, a lot of time when we look at Canaan, we talk about the promised land is not heaven. See, we got the thing that some people think that the promised land is synonymous with heaven. The promised land is the victorious Christian life. Walking in the victory that he has promised you. The promised land living is something that you can experience on a day-to-day basis. And it doesn't mean that all your problems are going to just disappear. But it means that you walk in faith in the midst of it. Because they still had enemies around them. This little nation still had enemies around them. But they trusted God, and God sheltered and shielded them in the midst of all of the enemies around them. This reminds me of Psalm 20, the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. My question to you today is, where are you on this journey? Are you still stuck in slavery? And you guess you may not even recognize it. You might be a slave and not even recognize it. That's the most dangerous position to be in. To think that you're free, but you're not. Today, he said, if you have never come to acknowledge that your sin separated you from me, you are still a slave in your sin. And he's made a way to set you free today. But if you've been set free today, my question is, are you a person who, as a Christ follower, has accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, been set free from sin, but you walked out of slavery into the wilderness? And you've been walking in circles in your walk with God. And it just seems like you cannot get a break. It seems like things aren't happening. And it's because you know this morning that you are not walking by faith. God wants to change that in your life today and cause you to step into the land of promise. But in order for you to do that, you can't live by what you see. You got to walk by faith and not by sight. And finally, if you're a person, one of the 11%, you might be one of the 11% that says, I'm experiencing the victorious Christian life. I'm experiencing and seeing God's blessings in my life. My question to you is, as you're experiencing those blessings in your life, God wants you to be able to pour into life of other people so that they too can experience that same thing. If you're experiencing the victorious Christian life, listen, when you are walking in that, that's something you don't want to keep to yourself. So you want to be out telling as many people as you can about how they can get set free from bondage and walk into the promised land. My question is, as you're walking in that victory, are you sharing your victory with other people by telling them the good news? Glory days. Let's put up that glory days declaration. I want you to read this. If you want to screenshot it, you can take your phone, screenshot it. I want you to say this to yourself this week. Glory Days Declaration says, these days are glory days. My past is past. My future is bright. God's promises are true and his word is sure. With God as my helper, I will be all he wants me to be, do all he wants me to do, and receive all he wants me to receive. These days are glory days. Can we say that together? I'm going to count to three. I want us to say that together on three. One, two, three. These days are glory days. My past is past. My future is bright. God's promises are true, and his word is sure. With God as my helper, I will be all he wants me to be, do all he wants me to do, and receive all he wants me to receive. These days are glory days. He's not a man that he should lie. If he's made the promise, he'll make it good. And I've told you this in the past, and I encourage you this week, why don't you do this? Take this week and go back and look at some of his promises. Look at what God has promised you. He's promised never to leave you, never to forsake you. And as you walk and see all of the things and make a list, as the song says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Another one says, standing on the promises. What I want you to do this week, as you write out God's promises, think about those promises as you say this declaration to yourself. And listen, there's no magic in just saying it. Now we got to put our faith into action. We got to step out on what we're saying and believe God does what he says he does. And what he will do, he will set you free out of that wilderness wandering. But the first thing that you need to do, if you've never come to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, first thing you need to do today is get free from the bondage of sin. As we close, I want us all to stand together. As we get ready to close, I want us to stand. And I want to give someone an opportunity today who's never been released from the bondage of sin to be set free. You might be a good person. You might be a church attender. You might give to the poor. You might go feed the homeless, give to charities, be kind to your neighbor. All of those things, sing in the choir. But guess what? None of that
gives you access to God's kingdom. None of that makes us, and the only way, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we can be saved except through the name of Jesus Christ. See, God loves you, and he wants a personal relationship with you. God made you to love you. He created you and designed you to be in personal relationship with him. But that relationship was broken when sin entered into the world. See, the reason why is because God is perfect and without sin. In 1 John, it said, God is light, and in him there is no darkness, no darkness at all. And he cannot tolerate sin, but you and I are born sinners. But he loves you so much that even though we're born sinners and our sin has separated us from him, he said, I want you so bad. I want her so bad. I want him so bad that I'm going to make a way to take care of their sins so that I can get them back with me. That's how much God loves you. That's how much he wants and desires a personal relationship with you. He desired it so much that he made a way for your sins to be covered. And see, in the Bible, it says that all sin, the only way that our sin can be covered is through blood. The Bible says that everything is cleansed with the blood. That's why if you ever look in the Bible, you'll see all these sacrifices in the Old Testament. They were always making sacrifices and shedding blood of animals. It's because when there was sin, there had to be a sacrifice made to cover it. But God said, listen, and the sacrifice has got to be a perfect sacrifice. The only way your sin and my sin can be covered is with a perfect sacrifice. And there's no perfect human being. God said there's nobody perfect that will qualify to be the sacrifice. The only being that is perfect is God himself. So his love is so infinite and so deep, y'all, that he said the only perfect being is me. So because I'm God, I'll become a man. I can do that because he's almighty. He became flesh. The Bible calls him Emmanuel, God with us. And God came to earth and he was born of a virgin and he lived on this earth and he went through everything that you and I go through, every temptation, every trial, and he didn't sin not one time. And he did that because he saw you and he saw me. And he wanted you that bad that he went through all of that on this earth. And he said he was born to be your sacrifice. And he allowed human beings to beat him, to whip him, to pierce him and hang him on a cross so he could shed his blood to satisfy his own justice. He shed his blood because he knew that's the only way that our sin could be covered. That's the only way he could get you back. And he hung on a cross. And he died because he wanted you bad. He loved you that much. He died on the cross to satisfy the justice of God. But because he's God, the grave couldn't hold him. Because he's God, he went and he laid in that grave all night Friday. He laid in there all day Saturday. And then early Sunday morning, he rose from the grave so that I might be justified, so that I might be made right with God. And he says to you and to me, if you want to be with me, I want a relationship with you. I want to live with you eternally. You must first admit that you're separated from me by your sins. And you got to believe that I did all that. You got to believe that I came, that I lived and I died and I was buried and I rose again with you in my mind. And you got to make a personal choice to say, Jesus, I choose you. I believe you did that for me. And I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe you lived, that you died, and that you rose again. And today I want you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Give me your righteousness. And make me who you want me to be. If you make that decision this morning, he'll set you free. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. If you want to make that decision to have him Lord of your life so he can set you free from your sin, I want you to raise your hand right where you are. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Just in the motion of that hand, it's already done. Anyone else? Said, listen, I want to be set free from my sins. He'll do it today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want you, my brother, I want you to make a bold step. I want you to meet me right here. Come on, meet me right here. Brother Tim, could you come? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Dear God, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for setting him free, God. Thank you for keeping him, Lord. Lord, let him be able to walk in the promises that you have made to him all the days of his life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? He who the Son sets free is free indeed. It's not too late. If you want to be set free from your sin, all you have to do is say yes to him. If you want to make that decision, could you make that today? Anyone else? Second call. Every head bowed, every eye still closed. Second call. You say, Pastor Dwayne, I'm in that 89%. I'm living below the promise. I'm ready to walk out of the wilderness into the promised land. I'm a Christian, but I've been living below what God has promised me. I haven't been walking by faith, but I've been walking in fear. If you say, I'm ready to walk in the promised land today, I want you to raise your hand. Let's pray together. If you're a Christian and say, listen, I'm living below, praise God, I see those hands. I see those hands. Anyone else say, God's got, I know God's got me, promised more for me. And I need to begin to walk in faith in some areas of my life. Anyone else need prayer this morning? Thank you, Lord. My hand is up with y'all. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Can we join together, touch and agree, all of us who say we want to get out of the wilderness? Can we come together and just hold hands up here up front to show others and say, God, we want to begin to walk in what you've promised us. Let me pray with you, for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He's a promise-keeping God. Hallelujah. If you want to come during this time, you can continue to come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're a God who waits for us. Thank you that you're a patient God. Lord, as we look in the Old Testament, we see how patient you are with your people. And we thank you that you've been patient with us while we've been languishing in the wilderness. And you've given us today as an opportunity to say, God, we want to step out of the wilderness into your promises. God, I don't know what area of life it is. It could be on my job. It could be in my marriage. It could be in my finances. It could be in Lord, my moral behavior. Whatever it is, God, that you want to cause us to walk in promise in, we come today to say we want to walk by faith and not by sight. God, instead of seeing the giants in the land, we see your promises. Forgive us, God, for being content being in the wilderness, and we thank you for your forgiveness and your mercy. God, let us not get stuck in the past. Let us not reflect on where we used to be. Let us not be like the children of Israel to begin to think back on the onions and the food that they had in Egypt, but to glory in the promise that you have for us. And Lord, as a result of beginning to walk in promise, I pray that you get glory and use us to be a light in the lives of other people. We thank you, we praise you, and you get all honor and glory and praise in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. All things new, yes, you make all things new. an awesome God. Amen. He's an awesome God. If you're here today, God has been blessing you. You've been walking in victory. You know, that victorious Christian living, you got to guard that thing. Because it can last only for a short season. This period in Israel's season was only 7 years. But if you want